This is a true story. In the early 1980s, two filmmakers emerged from a barren cultural wasteland as a fully formed filmmaking force. Watch the scene from Raising Arizona, 1987, where the jailbreaking Snoats brothers erupt up out of the prison yard mud and start bellowing madly into the sky, and you have a perfect visual representation of the arrival of Joel and Ethan Coen onto the scene of American cinema. The Coens came out of nowhere. Actually, St. Louis Park, Minnesota, a suburb of Minneapolis. There were two of them. Joel Coen was born in 1955, 3 years before his younger sibling. And they made too much noise to be ignored. Between 1984 and 1991, they created four films that fixed their reputations as auteurs in America and abroad. The crime thriller Blood Simple, 1984, the screwball chase comedy Raising Arizona, the period gangster pastiche Miller's Crossing, 1990, and the existential puzzle film Barton Fink, 1991. The directorial credit on these titles belongs to Joel Coen, with Ethan cited as a producer, and yet, as has been pointed out many times, this distinction was primarily cosmetic. The division of labor suggested by the credits is pretty arbitrary, said Joel Coen in an interview with Positif in 1991, while the Coens' longtime collaborator John Turturro has called them a two-headed monster. Most accounts of the Coens' directorial process between 1984 and 2004, the year that they first officially shared the directorial credit for The Lady Killers, emphasize their synchronicity on set as well as in the editing suite, where their collaboration is so close that they morph into a separate, third filmmaking entity, Roderick Janes, whose fictitious, pseudonymous existence is a running joke, as durable as any of the recurring camera moves, character types, or plot twists in the movies themselves. In fact, the consistency of the Coens' artistic output is matched only by the unerringly repetitive behind-the-scenes narrative regurgitated nearly word for word in the proliferation of profile pieces that have been published over the years. The slightly unnerving sense of sameness in these articles could be taken as a byproduct of dutiful, double-sourced journalism, or as evidence that these filmmakers have always seemed more determined than most to keep their off-camera stories straight. The mundanity of the biographical details is part of the legend. There's the upper-middle-class upbringing by parents who worked as university professors, references to a mysterious and mostly absent older sister named Debbie, and the brothers' shared, mocking reminiscence of the bedroom community of St. Louis Park as the United States equivalent of Siberia. It's been well and widely reported in books and magazine articles that the pair spent their childhoods imbibing movies on local television. Everything from cable broadcasts of Fellini films to tacky late-night B-movies, before starting to experiment with their own Super 8 camera, collaborating with friends from the neighborhood on remakes of their favorite titles. From there, it's just a hop, skip, and jump through a familiar series of salad days anecdotes, including Joel's journey to film school, first at NYU, where he met and befriended fellow fledgling director Sam Raimi, and then the University of Texas, where he absorbed some of the regional inspiration for Blood Simple. Ethan's sojourn studying philosophy at Princeton, which included a thesis on Wittgenstein and several incidents of acting out, such as a forged note to his registrar citing a disfiguring hunting accident as the cause of an extended absence. The brothers' fateful meetups with Yale School of Drama graduates Holly Hunter and Frances McDormand, the latter of whom would marry Joel in 1984, after finishing her star turn in Blood Simple, and their reunion in New York City in 1980, where Ethan worked as a typist at Macy's to pay the bills, and they started co-writing screenplays, including the script that would be used for their debut feature. This portrait of the Coens as slightly maladjusted smart alecks working patiently but industriously on their own terms has endured due in equal parts to its truth and its romance. In 1981, the year that Joel Cohen began lugging a projector and film reels containing a homemade, 2-minute trailer into the homes of potential investors, sourced from a list of Minnesota's 100 wealthiest Jews. American cinema was in a period of intense stratification, during which the combined financial and artistic gap between the kinds of movies being made by major studios and those being produced via independent channels grew wider than ever before. The Coens' obvious love and appreciation for the movies of an earlier era was consistent with the cinephilia of their predecessors in the New Hollywood. But as figures like Martin Scorsese, Francis Ford Coppola, and Michael Cimino gradually succumbed to gigantism, with Cimino's Heaven's Gate 1980 unofficially sticking a fork in the corpse of what had started as an anti-establishment movement, it was the Coens' agility that positioned them as film culture warriors.